Rubbish.
It's too Radio 4.
It's a bit Radio 4, isn't it?
Oh, welcome, welcome to the Oxbridge Cavalcade. That's what it was, wasn't it?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we're not doing that. It was too twee.
I can't really do non-twee on the piano.
Well, why have we been wasting our lives? The piano bass one. That's by me, that's not an original. Look, just shout podcast again.
Okay.
Podcast!
Podcast!
That is the introduction to the podcast.
Podcast!
Yeah.
Hello.
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 So it's another week. We still haven't got an introduction because we only try and write them in the initial minutes of the podcast, and that is a really bad idea.
I did try and write some on.
Did you?
Yeah, but it doesn't.
Did you come up with one?
No, didn't sound good at all.
Well, have a go.
I just played it.
I think this isn't the kind of podcast where you can withhold things. you have to do everything that you think of. Do it.
No, it sounded too Radio 4, you just said.
Oh, that was the one?
Yeah.
Oh, it did, yeah.
Yeah, that was no good.
All right, just shout podcast again then.
Podcast!
Hello.
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 Oh, it's a guest already. Look, okay, so you've got... Remember I've told you about this. What?
I just want to make sure he can be heard.
He can be heard, fine. Can you be heard?
I can be heard.
Looks like he can be heard too.
All
he
right.
Can be heard. Yeah, so remember I told you about the guest, you've got to say what they do and things before you say the name, otherwise people won't be interested.
That's why I didn't say anything.
I know. Right. What's he do?
He's a performance...
Actually, we didn't check if we're actually using his name or just saying his
name. No, you're supposed to... Before you say the name, you're supposed to say what he's done.
I know, but I'm in advance. I don't know when we get to the name if I'm supposed to use his actual name or the name he is usually referred to.
The referred to name.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I am thinking of killing off the referred to name.
Right.
So you could...
We've caught you at a place of transition.
Place of transition.
Yeah.
Flip seamlessly
formally
between
known
the two.
As.
Yeah. This is really difficult. I mean, I don't want to get hung up on this point.
You choose. I'm
I just want to pick a brand new name for you.
You could do this all under a completely new name.
Okay, that leads into a good introduction. Say, you may have seen him on the performance, poetry, and comedy circuit as Johnny Fluffy Punk, but now, casting off that persona like the skin of a snake.
Hanging it up.
Yeah.
Like a tired uniform.
That's beautiful. So he's done that now. He's hung it up, and what has been left is a husk of a. No, not a husk, a squirming grub.
A squirming grub that's thrown off the outdated carapace of previous incarnation. Although all the gigs I've got booked up are under that previous name, so.
But don't bother going to those because they're just going to be a
it's
shadow.
Someone else,
of
it's someone else, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's someone else.
It's
John Seagrave.
Yay!
Formerly known as Johnny Fluffy Punk.
Johnny Fluffy Punk.
And currently
Punk.
Known as Johnny Fluffy Punk for
currently,
commercial reasons.
Currently for commercial reasons known as Johnny Fluffy Punk. Poet and man of words.
If you cut you in half, is it just words?
Words.
Spill out?
What's that?
Your viscera spill out in the form of words if one was to cut. Actually, there's a question.
It cut me in half and there's art written through me.
Right, if I was to not actually go so far as cutting you in half, if I was to like ritually disembowel you like a Japanese samurai of some kind, and words would spill out.
Yeah.
You're going with this, right? So words would spill out. What words would they be? What three words would spill out of your disemboweled gut in that act of violence? Yeah, good.
Jesus!
Right, no, and, good. Religious.
And art. Art. We'll just come pouring out and obliterate the rest.
That's fantastic. See, we're trying to still kind of find our way as to what the format of the podcast will be.
I like it as it is.
Yeah, just
it's free form.
Just make
it's
up
loose.
Stupid questions.
Yeah,
it's loose.
I've got some stupid questions.
Have you?
Yeah.
I thought they were for an emergency if it was going
they
badly.
They are kind of for an
this
emergency.
This is an emergency. It's going badly.
It is.
It's not going badly.
Ask a stupid
question. Going good.
See what happens.
I just got them up and I wanted to remember. Have you ever done it up Cisbury Ring? I don't know. This was 4 o'clock in the morning last night and I was like, I know, I'll come up with some questions for John Seagrave.
If you're talking about expounding art, or something like that. There's no, if you're talking about intercourse with a lady, then yes.
Or a man.
Or a man, but in this case, a lady. Which ring?
Cisbury ring. Is that
oh, no, I've
ring?
Done it up Cisbury ring. I've done it up Chanctonbury.
Oh, have you?
Chanctonbury.
No.
Chanctonbury.
And when you've done it...
Maybe I have done it up Cisbury. I can't... Cisbury ring, I've only got vague memories of. It's got flint pits at one end. I mean, I hadn't done it in them.
No.
I might have done it on Cisbury ring, but I think I've only been there with a group of people, and I'm not lucky enough yet to have had group sex.
Ah, oh, yes.
And when... Chanctonbury ring.
Chanctonbury
what's
ring.
Was the outcome that the devil came?
No.
Because what is it? Do you dance backwards around Chanctonbury ring 19 times at the right time of year, and the devil comes?
I'm not sure about it. It's supposed to be haunted, but I wasn't thinking about that at the time.
So I suppose for other people attending on that night, they might go, "What's all that wailing?"
I suppose they might. It might be. It maybe it scared off other people with the guttural echoes of my feisty coitus. that have driven them away.
So that was quite a good question. You see,
that was it delivered. Really well, didn't it?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
That was
4 a.m. is the sweet spot. It's the sweet time. Where
it delivered.
Like,
oh. I'm an artist. I, as a poet, I'm committed to truth. Yeah. I have to tell you the answers, mm-hmm. Lisa. You ask the questions, I give you the truth. Even when I try a lie, it always ends up revealing an inner truth, so I can't win.
Yeah.
So, you're a poet then. That's what we've established.
Yeah.
What sort of one of those are you?
Dangerous one.
Are you a dangerous
like
poet?
Like in the old days.
Yeah.
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Because they're not like that anymore, are they?
Well, no, people tend to have this thing. Perhaps, like, you know, from their conditioning at school, they tend to perhaps think of a poet, maybe. Well, they think that it's a sort of soft, effeminate kind of thing. At best, they consider a poet to maybe be not much different to them. Just a bit more prone to self-pity. Bit more prone
girlier,
to self-pity.
Self-pity,
and obsessed with punctuating text properly.
Is that because really poetry kind of reached its logical end point with Ezra Pound, and anything since then has sort of been masturbatory?
I have a feeling that it lost its relevance. I don't know too much about the old Ezra Pound angle. I believe that its status thing like that got eclipsed by rock and roll.
Well, I believe that about rock and roll. I think there hasn't been anything actually necessary to do to advance the art since 1977. I don't really think anything further than the Sex Pistols has much validity.
No.
It's kind of like, I think, you know, there's things to piss, they can do, there's like
alleyways.
It's
sort of like nice, they're kind of like nice variations on a theme, aren't they?
Yeah. So
a lot
kind
of it's
you,
nice
yeah.
variations on a theme.
There was a Colossus, including us, there was a Colossus being built, and that Colossus was like, the capstone was the Sex Pistols. And since then, it's just been like drawing on the walls, but you're not really building anything anymore. And I kind of thought that about poetry, and I kind of think that about what we do, totally. And that's why the first song on the first album we did was called The Last Significant Statement to Be Made in Rock and Roll. Because aside from like being quite a wanky thing to call the first song your first album, it did sort of mean it. In that basically everything after this, I've told you, you shouldn't really be listening. It's a waste of time, and we ought to be spending our time inventing something new. And instead we're just pissing around in this puddle.
Yeah.
I think really what we do is valueless, and so is what you do, I think.
Yeah,
how do you feel about that?
Every day, Simon, I wake up, smash my head against my badly wallpapered bedroom wall and say that my life is just pissing in the wind.
Yeah, me too.
But there's still that possibility. There's that possibility for danger. I go into schools and do workshops with kids. Right. They let me into school. They do workshops with kids. Before they let me through the door, I have to show them a certificate. Showing that I've got £10 million worth of public liability insurance.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
£10 million.
So does that mean?
Imagine that damage.
So how many can you?
How many children could you damage?
Yeah.
£10 million quid's worth of damage with poetry. Yeah.
What is the going rate
to a child? I mean, I want to £10 million. You want to be damaging a professional footballer?
Exactly.
Not a child.
Or multiple children.
No, multiple children.
Take out a whole bunch.
Multiple children.
For £10 million, I reckon you could. Yeah,
£10 million you could take off. The thing is, when I used to be a carpenter. When I was a carpenter, I had to have £5 million worth of public liability insurance. That says, holding up tattered, Vimto-stained poetry book towards microphone.
Yes.
That means I
he
can
is
do
doing that.
I can do twice as much damage
right.
to a child with this than I can with a circular
or does
saw.
It just mean that children are worth more than decking? I don't know. I mean, I'm...
What are you saying?
I'm just saying. Like, you can probably if you're damaging everything as a carpenter, you're probably like destroying the lives of like one semi-professional couple. Right,
destroying the bourgeois ambitions.
Yeah, you're destroying the bourgeois ambitions of young professionals.
Yeah.
Whereas children, you know, if you could take out 30 of those, 40 in a.
But how can you take out thirty with poetry? Could damage them. Yeah,
well,
I agree.
Out of them, make them.
I agree. Again. Yeah, you could damage them. You could get a phone. I could sit at home in my garret.
Yeah.
In my garret at night, dragging my thin 3.5 tog poet's duvet tight around my thin poet's body, trying to keep warm on the floorboards.
Mm-hmm.
No bloody mattresses here. The mattresses of a novelist.
Right,
floorboards.
Mattresses of a novelist.
Mattresses of a novelist.
Children.
Yeah. It deranges so I could get a phone call saying, "Oh, did you come into my school today? My little Timmy is now he's given up. He's smashed in all his possessions.
He's
given up on his studies. He's locked in the. You can hear that. Can you hear that, poet? He's locked in the living room, drinking stolen Blossom Hill and screaming at the TV. No deal, Noel. No deal. No yeah. deal. He's written demented verse on the back of this week's lottery ticket, and then set fire to it in a fit of artistic pique.
And then pissed off.
And it was a rollover this week, and I was feeling lucky, poet. I hope you're insured. It could be dangerous.
Well,
it could be dangerous.
Depends. So basically, in that situation, you're hoping for someone else to also win the jackpot, so that it cuts under the 10 million, so that you're not liable for any more. Is there an excess?
I don't know. 50 quid's worth of damage. I have to make up out of my own pocket.
Right.
First 50 quid's worth of damage to a child. First missing a tooth or something.
An economist would look at that situation and go, basically, for 50 quid, you can do what you like to a child.
Yeah.
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 That's how you should look at it.
Will Ferris had public liability insurance.
I bet he had loads of public liability.
Anyway, we're not going to go in that particular territory.
You can go up that territory.
Where's ill thought out pronouncements upon suspected paedophilia being broadcasted? I have headed off down that alley.
Is there anyone in the 70s who wasn't?
Oh, it's about danger. Well, I can say is
yeah.
is just I don't want the next one to be Tony Hart. Not Tony Hart.
I don't think he would. He just, no. To be honest, even if he was, he'd just be looking at pictures.
They've not been calling Rolf Harris a paedophile.
I think they are today.
Well,
the front of the Daily Mirror.
Yeah, time he pedo down sport or something.
Two little boys.
Yeah. Oh, says it all, doesn't
I
it? The clues were there. The clues were there, Julia, and nobody acted.
Why didn't you act, Julia?
Oh, I don't know.
Citizen's arrest on Harris.
Two little boys. Jake the Peg with his extra leg. Was that a leg?
Oh, my goodness.
Basically, his career was...
His whole career was barely disguised paedophilia.
Yeah.
What next?
Who that's next? The thing we've learned for the future. Is
Who
if
next?
Someone
Timmy Mallett?
Well, Timmy Mallett.
Timmy Mallett's too obvious. He's too...
But the thing is, you just said Savile's too obvious.
Mm.
Yeah, but there's something really, really, really creepy about him. Timmy Mallett is more just like that really annoying, spoilt kid.
Simon found this great... it's on YouTube somewhere. Johnny Rotten.
I didn't find it. It was viral. It was a massive viral video.
Okay.
Johnny Rotten.
A recording with Johnny Rotten in the 70s talking about Jimmy Savile and pretty much identifying that he was a dirty, dirty old perv.
Yeah, it was something that didn't go out. It was an interview that didn't go out, and he's sort of going, well, of course, we've all heard the rumours about Uncle Jimmy, but this won't go out, will it? And the woman just goes, no, it probably won't. You go, perfect.
I just think that is the best, is the funniest
everyone
thing.
Knew.
Like, everyone else was a
everyone
pervert.
Knew.
But the people who were sort of depraved were not perverts.
The only person not like elbow deep in a child was on the front cover of being called disgusting.
Johnny Rotten was on the front page
of
the newspaper. Such is the hypocrisy of society. And all the time, you've got the old hairy cornflake, who I do believe... through the Sex Pistols single On the Ground as Despicable Filth.
Yeah.
Who's that? Harry Cornflake.
Dave Lee Travis.
Oh, right.
He's been done for something, I don't know.
Has he actually been done for something? Probably
he's been
say he hasn't,
yeah,
sure.
Yes.
David Travis,
allegedly.
Who may or may not have. But Harris is definitely has been charged, though may still be innocent.
Yeah.
It's a tough old world. Do you want to do something for us on our podcast?
Do you want
podcast?
Me to do a... I'll do a poem. I'm going to start with a poem.
Right. It doesn't have to be a poem.
No, it can be a poem. No, I'm going to start with a poem. I will start with a poem.
Okay.
I'll ease the audience
it's just
in.
It's interpretative dance doesn't really come across.
Doesn't come across on the radio. Yeah. You would be able to hear the pitter-patter, and if I did it with enough conviction, you'd be able to piece it together.
Do a bit of heavy
head.
Breathing in between.
Okay, this is... I'll start with a little poem. This is a simple poem about charity. Charity, how the good in people... This is it. We've been talking about the bad in people, haven't we? We've been talking about the bad in people. Let's address the bad. This is about how the good in people lives on after they've died. True story. Caught short after dark, crossing Hyde Park. Okay, so if we recap here, we're in London. Mm. Okay. I urinate in the Diana, Princess of Wales Memorial Fountain. The gently flowing water uncomplainingly shouldered its extra burden of wee, uncomplainingly brought relief to me, a man in considerable physical discomfort. Glancing up in the moonlight, I saw upstream a tramp, his trousers down, squatting to press the swollen, inflamed burden of his infected testicles against the cool, soothing granite. Our eyes met. We smiled and nodded our understanding. It's what Diana would have wanted. Thank you.
Very good.
Princess of Hearts, she was. Princess of Hearts. I actually got, as you were saying that, and after I did that at a gig recently, and I said a line about I urinated in Diana, Princess of Wales Memorial Fountain, and someone shouted out, "Oh, too soon!"
Really?
Too soon!
This was recently.
This was in Bath, unsurprisingly.
It's probably too soon in Bath.
It is too soon in Bath. I wonder what it was too soon for. Too soon to desecrate the memory. Of Lady Diana, or too soon to urinate in the fountain.
I think they just think you should have held it in for another 5 minutes.
I see, too soon, because I held it in because I reached some public convenience. It was night time. Public conveniences in Hyde Park are locked. But too soon to urinate on a public memorial, which is implying that there is a kind of finite agreed time after which it is perfectly acceptable to urinate on a memorial of the beloved deceased.
Yeah, I think.
And I'd like to know what that time was. 15 years?
Yeah, 15 years.
How long has it been? 97?
It's
16
so...
years. By your own token, yeah. I should have been able to urinate.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying she was right.
I'm not saying she was right. No, she was a young person. It wasn't
was
an old lady.
Years.
It was a young person.
Well, then...
A young person from
maybe
Bath.
Maybe young people. They're 15 years ages for
young people.
Person,
young people from Bath.
They still haven't gotten over the Romans in Bath.
No, they haven't.
They're just very slow to get over
things. It's a slow sort of place.
It is.
You're right.
I've been to Bath. It was very expensive.
It's all very expensive in Bath. It used to be very bohemian, but
yeah.
They've
well, it's like Brighton, isn't it? Brighton
yeah, but they've obliterated it, and the most telling and obvious example being that the head shop that was on Walcott Street in Bath, the head shop, you know, the one that the archetypal, you know, bohemian underground hangout is now Farrow and Ball paint shop.
Ooh.
How much of a turnaround can you
have? Well, there's that one on Queen's Road in Brighton, the bookshop where the man would find things in piles.
Oh, him? Where was that?
That's a leather furniture shop now. I think he died. But like,
He looks like he was on the cusp of dying all the time. David Rosen, he went, didn't he?
Yeah.
Barney, his place is still
there. His place is
still
there. At least that doesn't sell leather furniture. But
other place, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a real shame.
God, it did used to be so vibrant, didn't it?
Properly expensive.
Remember the Jubilee Market?
Well, I do.
Yeah,
I'd love to move back to Brighton, but it just can't
afford
to.
If you'd move back in time to Brighton, that'd be all right.
I still like it, despite whatever they do to it, they can't kill it. I like the fact that it's got that mixture of beautiful seaside and that kind of... It's got that sort of faded theatrical underbelly, which I kind of like. You know, it's sort of, you know...
I think they do die off, though.
Elderly, gay, failed actors drinking themselves to death in backstreet boozers.
But
I kind of
last,
like
it
that.
Can't last, eventually,
full of stories.
Eventually,
you'll
have generations
disease.
Of gay people who were never had to use Polari to communicate in back alleys.
And so
all the ones who did will die, and it'll just be full of fulfilled, happy gay men who've lived fulfilling, happy lives.
Yeah, and who then turn
and
like
be,
like the like like the Israelis in Israel turn suddenly and start turning on everybody else. You get conservative gay men, don't you? These conservative gay men complaining about the young people.
An elderly generation entirely made of square, spectacled, conservative leading
conservative gay men with short hair and liberal instincts.
Apparently the float at Pride a few years ago for the conservative gay thing was very impressive and flamboyant.
Conservative gays?
Mm, yeah, it was really interesting.
Well, it's a step forward.
Yeah, totally. It is a step forward.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm only talking about it from a photographer's interest point of view. I went to Margaret Thatcher's funeral as well to take pictures.
Did you?
Yeah. It was very interesting. That's the sort of thing I like to take pictures of, you see, because it's not something that necessarily anyone I know would do. So there's all sorts of things I can take pictures of that maybe other people wouldn't take pictures of. So it was a perfect opportunity. I thought...
We were trying to find protesters and they were...
Yeah, it was hardly any protesters. I'm good at taking pictures of protesters. I've done it for a long time.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was hardly anybody there. Mostly it was just supporters and stuff. And lots of women, which was interesting.
Where was this?
Right by St Paul.
Because there was a big street party in Trafalgar Square, wasn't there?
I don't think it was as big as it was made out.
I was really surprised. Yeah,
it
can't really be asked.
But they did, and that's kind of what happened. They were turning up once it was all over, and I was like, it's all over, darling. Like, you... There's nothing to protest now. It's finished.
You're going to have to get up in the morning to protest her? Fuck it, it's our final assault on us.
It kind of felt that she'd won in a way, just by dying peacefully. You know, she should have gone a Mussolini way, really, shouldn't she?
How did Mussolini?
Well, hanging from a lamppost.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
You know, that's what, you know, the fact that she just died senile and comfortable in the Ritz.
In the Ritz, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what am I...
It's a great story, you know. You've got to admit, it is a great story.
Yeah, she did win. You've got to respect it.
She won.
Kicked everyone's ass.
Oh, God, something can only happen to her children. You out there in Radio Land. Take that as a hint.
Do you want to do a little bit of a song for us?
To be honest, I don't think this has got many listeners. They're going to easily narrow it down. If Mark Thatcher suddenly throws on a hook somewhere in Africa,
as requested by the Indelicates podcast.
It won't need to, because, you know, if it's one of the, like, 20 people who will listen to this, it'll be fairly easy to pin back on you. I mean, you're in trouble if that happens.
I'm incited.
You better pray for the safety of Mark Thatcher.
No. It'll be worth it. I'll go down.
Are you a Republican? Do you not believe in the monarchy?
I would say I was a Republican. I'm not an avid Republican in the way that I might. I am a Republican. I don't like the fact that there's these people that are venerated purely because of an accident of birth, and the fact that it's so ingrained and insidious that it's, to all intents and purposes, barely questioned. But then such is the same with so much of society, Julia.
I think that the thing that upset me the most, well, doesn't anymore because, you know, that's the way it goes, but the thing that upset me about the wedding and the baby and all that stuff so much is that, for the most part, English people are not against it. They're sort of ambivalent about it. They're just sort of... They don't care about getting rid of it. They don't care about it that much at all, and they don't have particularly strong feelings about it, and that's quite disappointing. You kind of think, really? Do you not want to get rid of these people? Like, I'm not saying you have to chop off her head or anything, but...
I'm still half expecting to catch a glimpse of one out of the corner of my eye and to see the reptile tongue, the lizard thing. David Icke said. He was so convincing about so many other things. I think I could be convinced by that.
Do you find David Icke convincing on many things?
I've read his book. I read one of his books during a time in Spain when I had nothing else to read, and it was just that left on a bureau in some abandoned holiday cottage.
I do like the fact that he clings to the DJ voice, like, while he's saying all these things,
and
he's saying it with a T turned into a D. He's got that. And he's used what is was a natural
and
voice of authority.
I don't know how I've just let it sit, but I've said on record, I guess I'm indicated that even to a minimal extent I'm into David Icke. I'm not. I never discussed. This is the first time David Icke has crept into conversation in at least 15 years.
Why are you wearing that
years.
I Love David Icke t-shirt? He's not wearing
charity shop fine.
And that turquoise tracksuit.
Charity
very
shop
becoming,
fine.
But
charity
sake.
Shop fine. I'm the facets of the Archangel Michael.
Are you?
Mm. Just like him.
Ah.
That's a new question we can ask everyone. What facet?
What facet are you of
which,
the Archangel?
Which,
I don't know. Which
Archangel
facet?
Are you a facet
That's what he said when he was on Wogan,
facet?
Wasn't it? When he was on Wogan, when he first yeah. changed from being a football commentator into a messiah. He said, I am a facet of the Archangel Michael.
But if you were the facet of an Archangel, which Archangel would it be?
I don't know any others. Only know Gabriel. That's because I was him in the nativity at school.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know any other archangels.
So it's just okay. What's so
all the hierarchy system within the angel, you know, politics.
Anything ending with an L. That's basically an angel.
Belial?
No, that's a demon.
That's
ends with an L.
Belial.
Oh, that's
Belial.
Yeah, I was getting that wrong, was I?
Yeah. There's Michael, obviously.
Michael.
Gabriel. And, oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Is there not a Malachel, I think? Oh, no, there's definitely a Baruch El.
Baruch El.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do. I don't really know enough about them to say what being a facet of one would entail. But if which facet, though?
I don't know. I mean, what, a facet? A facet of an archangel.
I suppose one could be his aspect of intelligent beatification. Or you could be his sort of his joyous aspect.
You could be his non-conscious toilet functions.
Could just be his
cock. I don't know why.
Which bit of a... I am Barakel's cock.
Barakel's cock. Probably doesn't see
spunking
enormous amount of...
Spunking sacred love over the
spunking
earth.
Spunking clouds into the sky.
That's probably what
they do. That's radio. Spunk clouds into
that's
the sky. The sky is like a huge bath and spunked yeah. into and it spreads like little clouds.
That's lovely.
So I get stuck all over aeroplanes' wings. Where
and
all
the
plane
clouds
crashes
are
about.
The spunk of different angels. So your loftiest angels make the cirrus.
Indeed. In which case,
oh fuck! It's
pursuing relentlessly this
probably
analogy.
Probably your seraphim will make a cirrus, and then your archangels are like, oh, cumulonimbus.
So with all this holy jizz,
yeah.
to give it, like I said, floating around in the stratosphere.
It's going on a plane field.
Then surely, is it being wasted, or is there something out there stretching this metaphor, which could be seen as the ovum to which all of this semen is competitively reaching?
I suppose the earth
weather
is.
Balloon.
Yeah, weather balloon.
Weather balloon.
That'll do. Yeah, weather balloon. But really, because the really interesting thing is direct impact on global temperatures and seeding clouds is one of the possible solutions to global warming.
Is it?
Yeah. If you use
clouds in cloud busting. Have yeah. you seen your Kate Bush video? Cloud busting.
Is that all she, about? That,
based on the technology of Wilhelm Reich.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who proposes orgone accumulators, so orgone is a naturally occurring radiation stroke energy in the atmosphere that could be attracted by constructing mechanisms, basically consisting, crudely speaking, of alternate layers of organic and inorganic material act like giant batteries for this orgone, and you could therefore attract orgone to certain places by the strategic placing of an orgone accumulator, and that affects the weather that causes rainfall.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's the last person in the United States to have his books burnt.
Wow.
By the state.
What? Because they didn't. Why didn't they like it?
Well, therein lies a thousand
conspiracy. Because he was getting students like wanking a barrel or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he was very into his sex. He saw all his power of orgasm as well.
That you could summon the energy by focusing. Like wanking in a pyramid, basically, wasn't it?
That kind of thing could act as some kind of focus. It's probably, say, it all starts getting into the realm of chaos magic and things like that.
You'd probably get your hand chopped off if you did that in
Egypt. He's in the tradition of, like, Tesla and...
Yeah, because Tesla was another one that they refused to acknowledge and whatever.
Tell you what I found, speaking of Wilhelm Reich, and obviously Robert Anton Wilson wrote that book about it. I found the other day, right, because you know Ken Campbell did read out the whole of the Illuminati trilogy. It's the audiobook, and it's the most unlistenably brilliant audiobook ever.
Yeah, didn't he change? He did it all as a.
Well, he did it all as a play. And
play
then he did
that lasted 23 hours.
It's like it was on the day they immunised the Eskater, but it's like that for the whole sort of 50 hours. Like, it's unlistable. But someone has taken that.
Can
like,
he get it? Is
well,
it
yeah, you can. Like, I've got it somewhere. Like, someone has taken that and then put like trance beats under the whole thing.
So it goes on for
each
about 40
like
hours.
An hour. Yeah, and it is the closest thing I think you can get. To a legal, true legal high, because it blows you just like after half an hour to turn it off and lie down.
Don't let them immunize you. Yeah, okay, and it's all a bit. Yeah, imagine Ken Campbell doing that in a sort of slightly pissed off.
Saul was in his room and he saw the dogs coming out. It's all that fucking, but like no let up. He doesn't at any point just read it out sensibly for a bit. It's like all like that, and it's brilliant.
Well, I came in from being out, and Simon had been listening to it for about half an hour, and he had wide eyes and slightly unsettled look about him.
Yeah.
Should we play a little song?
Oh, fuck's sake. You see, this is.
Come on, this is the problem with being in being the podcast of a musical ensemble, isn't it? Is you feel duty bound by convention.
All the thing I say this to every guest on the podcast, which probably gets quite boring for people listening, but fuck it, right. The thing was, we thought we'll make it so that you can request the songs we'll do, and people request. So we have to play the songs they want us to, and they've got terrible taste with regards
no,
to.
No,
who's this? The guests have terrible.
No, the people.
We have a jukebox, and they pay £1.50, and then we play.
And have they selected?
Yep, yeah, we have a.
But they keep picking like just awful.
Are you saying this? You're saying this? They're going to hear this and cry.
They're not going to cry.
Simon's been moaning about it every
because I thought,
are you out there, listener?
Well, I keep trying to explain to them.
Taking this in.
The recent ones are better. Like, don't go back to the old ones. So today we've got to play one that is like it's a B-side that I didn't write the music to. Edwin wrote the music. He hasn't been in the band for ages. I've never played it on a guitar, so I wouldn't know how to if you asked me. Julia's tried to work it out vaguely on a piano, and I've got to sing these words. I don't think I mean them anymore.
Are you hearing this, listener?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where rock and roll has got to. It used to be the MC5 inciting riots in Detroit. Now it's a slightly miffed man in Lewis.
Detroit now, that helped, didn't it?
Yeah, that did help.
Well done, the MC5. See,
good
all,
on
MC5.
This is the pointlessness of rock and roll, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all a negation, it's all nihilism.
It is. Rock and roll is an alternating positron and antipositron careening through the universe.
Still, at least a struggling musician could afford to buy a house in Detroit.
That's true. I reckon we could buy Detroit. Not just
could
a house,
buy Detroit.
Buy
Detroit.
I think Keith could afford Detroit.
Probably. Yeah.
Why doesn't he buy a bit of Detroit? Because if you turn it into
all
a giant,
Detroit.
If you want to turn it into
Detroit.
A giant artistic commune, all of you, because all the artists, I mean, all of us, whatever living that
price.
We do make.
Ros won that prize. She could have bought Detroit with that.
She could have bought Detroit with that.
Like
how
new.
Much was it?
What about the people who already live there?
In the papers.
What would you do with them?
Get them to build
technically
colossus
you'd be buying
of yourself.
Quite a lot of black people, which isn't really okay.
No, but there's loads of huge areas that are abandoned.
People,
huge areas of it are abandoned.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you turn that all into... because all of us artists, we travel around, we're peripatetic. We earn our livings all over the place. You're not bound by place. Therefore, we could all live in Detroit and all just go off doing our arty things. But you all come back to these huge enclaves of, like...
Disease.
Big artistic, yeah, disease. Big artistic communes where everyone's producing beautiful art, and no one knows how to fix a drain,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you've got all of them together. No one knows how to cook. No one can drive. No one can fix a drain. A whole load of useless people masturbating over their artistic output.
Masturbating
but,
in the sky.
Yeah.
No, masturbating, but then creating a new world.
Creating a new world.
Clouds
from their of clouds.
Yeah. In a puddle in Detroit.
Yeah.
Maybe if you look at this world on the macro scale, that is what you'd see. Maybe this is all a puddle in the greater Detroit where we all exist. And that really we are just the doomed genetics of cosmic artists.
Could be.
It's a beautiful thought.
Now.
So,
and now for a song.
Simon, you're going to come around here and sing along as well.
All
hopefully
right.
You can read my handwriting. We're going to sing Peter Pan, the
you're
sequel to Peter Pan and Wendy,
yep.
For Jonathan Burnham's, because he has requested it before and now he has requested it again. And we're
You'd think he'd have learned his lesson the first time, honestly. These people.
All right, so
let me talk about the sequel to Pet. Is this a song of yours?
Yeah.
Oh right, this isn't just them requesting things from the great canon of.
No, they're not. But it's not like you can request. No, that wouldn't work. I mean, to be honest, that'd be a lot of pressure.
Oh, I think I know this one.
Really?
They all sound a bit similar.
Okay. Don't give away the trick to the trade. They don't sound similar. They're all really different. They're not all just D. Use many.
It's not a Billy Childish album. Well, you buy a record and you want it all to sound the same. Come on.
Yeah.
Windows shine like bat's eyes, reflecting something unseen in the dark.
That's wrong. You
what?
Played the wrong chord there.
I did, yeah, I'm sorry. I'll start again.
Look, you've got to play it right.
Oh no. I know. Sorry, Jonathan.
No, don't apologise to him. He gets what he deserves.
Windows shine like bat's eyes, reflecting something unseen in the dark. Before I came into this city, I never saw the shooting star. You said your soul was precious when you were trying to sell your soul to me.
The cat, what's that? Oh, the glamour. Go back. Fucking hell. This is the terrible,
come on,
terrible...
This is punk rock. Just absorb the mistakes. Absorb the mistakes.
I am doing. I'm riding this mistake. I'm surfing this mistake into the harbour of awesome.
When you were trying to sell your soul to me, the glamour's the first thing that you learn when you take up the left-hand path. And we won't forget you. Wings melting, but then we're ever so much more than 20, and we won't forget you. Your unpublished works, passed them round the friends you left. I got your blonde on blonde, and Julia took Love and Theft. We took down the posters in the treehouse, watched the ripples round the hearse, saw them sparkle on the water, saw them gradually disperse.
Let that be a lesson to you. Request new ones. They are better. Because I think Edwin, when he wrote that, he was trying to write a backwards song. That was what he was a bit prog, Edwin, and he was trying to write a song that would start with a crescendo backwards and then end with a
gentle intro.
Yeah.
Oh. I found it quite effective. Did you like the words?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, you didn't trust that to one of the minions. Well, but they can do the music.
Not to Edwin, I don't know what you get. it's not his sort of thing, really.
No, it's beautiful. I found it very poetic.
He does. He works for Spotify now. I
found it very poetic.
Yeah, it's quite poetic. Isn't
like,
it?
I like that.
Yeah,
I thought it was good.
It's not as good as
he works for Spotify.
Yeah.
What does he do for Spotify? What is working for it?
Programs for them.
Yeah.
Does he?
That's a very 80s way of putting it. Yeah, he does the computer programs.
Does the programs? Go to.
Apparently you can hack into your school and change your grade to an A.
He's got a cell phone and everything.
Oh my god. In New York City.
Yeah, New York.
Which I lived in New York
City. Lives in New York City?
Yeah.
At the moment, yeah. He's working for
me. Oh, blimey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it's at, isn't it?
Well, they've definitely got good food.
Yeah?
There's a picture of me in New York having been there for a couple of weeks and having got used to the portions there. And I don't generally put that much weight on because no one in my family's...
picture of you looking...
I've got
chubby,
there's
sweating, bingo
arms,
wings.
The arms, there's
beefy.
It's not muscle, it's fat. And there's a picture of me in the morning at a diner with a stack of 6 pancakes,
pouring
syrup onto a stack
pouring
of pancakes,
pouring
living
syrup
like
bacon.
American,
onto bacon and butter and
living
pancakes,
like
just,
an American.
Just sort of going, oh, I love it.
Much rather live like an American than these.
Well,
British
yeah, well,
can't
the
stand
food,
people,
the food in America, because you can eat out as cheaply as you eat in.
Oh, and in New York. Pretty much eating out is cheaper than
yes, people just
but
eat
I mean,
out.
The food is amazing.
It's,
it's
people
not
aren't just generally completely despicable, like here. On the whole,
what's that? The people
that you meet in the middle of America, just not generally completely despicable, like you get in the middle of England.
Are they?
No, they're nice.
Oh, okay,
you'd like them. They can all build a house.
You definitely like some of the people that we know in America.
Yeah, there's some nice American people.
Have you been to America?
Only when I was a child. Mm. Taken there. I went up the Twin Towers when they were still there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that documentary film about the guy who walked across the
the man on wire?
Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's an amazing film.
Beautiful documentary.
Very beautiful.
Very, very special since.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9/11.
Are we just going to talk about films we've seen?
What other films have we seen? Well, we've seen Kick-Ass 2. Kick-Ass.
No, that was a joke. Don't actually talk about
Don't
films.
Don't actually talk about films you've seen.
Anybody.
It's
so
tedious. They either agree or they don't know what you're talking about.
No.
Ask John a really serious question.
Yeah, get a silly
question
out.
No, serious question.
Serious question.
Ask him a serious question.
Serious question about the dichotomy of art and something.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to. I'm not going into politics.
No, the dichotomy of art and something.
Yeah. Just pick something for John to discuss the dichotomy of art.
Well, no, I've got a relatively serious question. Would you say you are fully committed to an alternative lifestyle, or do you like some aspects of the mainstream?
That's an amazing question. That's a kind of quite local news question. So,
are you fully committed to an ecological lifestyle?
It was a leading question, as in.
Or do I like some aspects of the mainstream?
So, are you in all the way, or you know, do you just go to bingo?
I dabble,
but you've got an ampelang.
No. I dabble. I used to see myself as like all young, wild-eyed, oblivion-seeking poets. I did see myself as totally committed to the alternative, to building a new world. Mm. But I've had it battered out of me, Julia.
Yeah.
To a large extent.
Do you think you've had it battered out of you, or do you think that... Not
I haven't said I haven't battered out, and I don't mean to say that they've won.
No.
I don't mean to say they've won. I've just been... I've gone into a totally negative space.
But do you think that that time has the...
I've gone into a catatonic stasis.
Do you think that time has the has a way of demonstrating...
Stripping you of hope? Yeah.
Demonstrating...
Killing your dreams.
How finding common ground is a useful strategy for dealing with the world.
Finding common ground?
With other people, yeah. So other people that may
normal
have been like your enemy or an enemy of your...
Women at Thatcher's funeral.
I mean, finding
common ground with them.
No, I still...
Rather than sneering at them from a ditch.
I still like to maintain an infantile opposition to most aspects of the status quo. Although I am increasingly incoherent when asked to justify myself.
But when faced
things.
With somebody who was completely the opposite view to you, but wasn't particularly aggressive about it, would you try and persuade them delicately of your argument, or would you just shout at them now?
No, I just wouldn't care.
No.
I just leave them to it.
See, I think
I just leave them to it.
That is a difference, because I think that there are a lot. There used to be a lot of people in Brighton who were prepared to try and explain their ideas to people who didn't really know them, by way of kindly trying to find common ground with them. And I think that that is that there are not many people like that left in Brighton. That used to be one of the special things about Brighton, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of that. So, and I used to be a ravenous political animal.
Really?
But yeah. Mm. But
what did you eat?
Slogans. And then shat them out the other end undigested.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I still believe in, yeah, there's certain things I will still get animated about. Housing, I think there should be, you know, affordable social housing for all, really. It should be. Mm. That's just a basic human right. It should be a roof over your head. I'm sick of... Because when I lived in Brighton, I always used to live in housing co-ops, and it was all sorted and it was all fine. But of course, they clamped down more and more on the funding for setting up things like that.
Yeah.
So now I've spent X amount of years back in the grinding insecurity of landlord land and living on borrowed boats and living in a tent in one area.
Yeah.
You just get more and more angry about stuff like that. I could imagine myself getting agitated in a local, you know, for that kind of thing. Mm. But in terms of...
If you could write a law and it just would automatically be passed, is that what you'd go for?
Yeah.
There's a right to housing for everyone.
Something that would remove all the bylaws that stopped reappropriation of the land at the barrel of a gun.
Mm.
Yeah. Right, get rid of those. Just do all that.
Yeah,
strip it from the rich.
Have you got a word? Have you got a word that you think would describe the tribe of political viewpoint you hold? I mean, would you say anarchist?
I am still an anarchist, but I'm not a grey. So I'm not a grey, Simon. I'm not a grey. I'm not. There's the grey anarchists, the ones you'll meet around and they'll sit around and they'll be discussing, you know, workerist movements of the 1930s. Mm. And I'm not interested. I mean, we used to run the cabaret at the Anarchist Book Fair until the comrades went and stripped us of our thing like that. And the thing is, because they want more grey stuff. They want more old men singing folk songs about, International Wobblers Union protests and things like that. Whereas we, last one I organised, we had a man dressed as James Bond. He did a strip.
Yeah.
Which I think was fine. I think the fact that he was there doing it for free at the Anarchist Book Fair says enough about what his commitment and principles are.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Why should the entertainment just be telling the people what they already know? And this is what I mean by the greys, is that in that whole anarchisty scene, you've just got this incredibly grey mayor of people who are theoretical ideologues.
Yeah.
And just. To me, anarchism has always been about free thinking and stuff like that, but I come much more from the old Robert Anton Wilson school. Yeah. You know, I embrace all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the wild-eyed
thing. We've got an anarchist in Lewis.
You got an anarchist in Lewis?
Yeah, just the one. You
trip
goes,
him up.
No, I've never seen him, but he paints the A symbol on the fence sometimes.
Oh, bless.
And he goes around in the middle of the night, and then you wake up and you go, oh, there's the anarchist symbol.
There's the anarchist symbol, and the anarchist's been out.
Just like in Big Vendetta, he's there waiting for some event.
Yeah,
and he'll come out. And I think one day he wrote, I think it was something like, I can't remember exactly. It was like smash the state. It was like part one of the slogan.
Circle day.
It was circle up, circle day, right? Smash the state, and then the second part I think was, it was something really about. It was something that you really needed a state to do. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like something.
Oh, it's a shame I can't remember.
It was something really specific part of the thing that the state is the only thing that's ever been able to provide it. So,
no to welfare cuts or something.
Yeah, it was like that was it. Like, it was like smash the state, no to welfare cuts. It's like pick. But yeah, he's angry. He's angry. He doesn't know. He's not sure.
Choose.
He's very against welfare cuts, but he also wanted to smash the state.
But you see, I think there used to be a lot more anarchists who were prepared to explain to a copper who probably didn't agree with them at all, or at the beginning, what they were doing and why they were doing it in an eloquent and reasonable
way. I am smashing the window of this
Starbucks. I think that that used to be a bit of a funny tradition. I think maybe it only existed for like 5 years, but actually I kind of liked it. I kind of liked that way of doing it. I find it difficult when folk, especially folk musicians who call themselves folk musicians, sing
privately
about
educated folk musicians.
very often privately educated folk musicians who then
we'll tell you later
who sing songs about
are
war
they
and stuff, but you're kind of like you haven't gone any further. No, have you? You haven't gone any further in this argument.
No, is it damned? It's not. It's a big game of guess who.
Yes, it's a contingent.
Get all folk musicians on a little board, and then
you know, war is bad. We don't like it. We don't like. You know, you shouldn't do that. You're like you haven't really gone any further than the folk songs they were singing in the '80s, and we've moved on a little bit. And like, no.
Are they bald?
Or is this like guess who?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it Ted?
No, Ted's gone to a nursing home.
Has he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He has.
Who was Ted?
I don't know.
Someone I was looking after.
Oh, right. Okay.
Was he a folk musician?
No, he wasn't. He was just a nice fellow.
Nothing to do with any...
This is psychogeography in podcast form.
This is beautiful. Lewis, psychogeography. We like it. We like it.
Anyway, so that's all I've got to say about that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Do you want to go poke?
Or a bit of music or whatever.
Or anything.
I see you've got some instruments.
I'll do it. I've just bought a thing.
You can do anything
in
this podcast.
I want you to do some. I'm going to do a story. I'm going to do a little story.
Mm.
It's a bit saucy.
That's fine.
It's a bit saucy. It's a bit.
It's a bit blue.
But it would do. It would benefit from some kind of cinematic background music.
Okay.
Just some kind of.
In that.
You do.
Just some kind of gentle. Nothing too intrusive. Nothing too intrusive.
I've got that for marking. If you've got a bit where in the printed edition one would have a small star to denote a change in paragraph style, that was very, so you'd say, and then you get to the end of one paragraph and I'll go, and then you do the next one.
Okay, there's probably one bit.
You said a bit blue, so I was doing sexy.
Okay, you can do it like
you
that.
You didn't say a bit blue, that was you.
No, you can do it. That's all right. We like the sound of that. Can you hear that there, in Radio Land?
If they can, we can't hear their response.
This is a love story. This is called. This is just war. My girlfriend likes me to do her, while I'm dressed as a private of Kaiser Wilhelm's Imperial Army. On our nights, I walk to her place off Sackville Road, get changed in the bathroom, and join her in the bedroom, which becomes the Western Front as summer slips to autumn, 1917. I am the historic medieval market town of Ypres, she says, sitting on the edge of the bed and tugging at my trousers. I want you to strafe me. I want you to obliterate me. I want you to drive Haig's contemptible army out of my cobbled streets. I stand before her in my rough serge uniform as a Hove bus hisses past on the wet street outside, its bright lights gleaming on the brass spike of my pickle halber. These are the drawn-out moments before battle, the bit Sassoon, I think, called the slow ticking agony of the wait. The silence is deafening. At last, she blows a whistle for 0 hour. And it's over the top. Dutifully, I shout my imperial battle cry and launch myself into her, unleashing the full weight of the Reich's arsenal. My mouth gives vent to a whole riot of roars and whoops. I'm quite proud to say that over the months I've become adept at imitating all the varieties of German artillery shell. I can do the whistle of a whiz-bang, the moan of a 5-8, the scream of a Minenwerfer, a never-ending exposition of military might whilst always maintaining my steady sexual grind. Oh, God, she moans. Houses are tumbling. Refugees are pouring into the streets. My assault must know no mercy. She's very strict about that. My knees have to slam the side of the bed, simulating the percussion waves of exploding musician. The rattle of a Maxim gun echoes around the walls, a recent touch I've developed. I can do the muffled rumble of a detonated mine, which makes her buttocks tremble. There goes the market hall, and oh, you've damaged the cathedral! Still it continues. My uniform is soaked with sweat, and to my annoyance I find I forgot to fill my regulation water bottle. That was the railway station, the goods yard. Oh, Jesus Christ, no! Not the ammunition dump! Not the ammunition dump! Yes! Yes, the ammunition dump. My noises coalesce into a single guttural, victorious bellow. And with a final scream of defeat, her body bucks and twists, pinioned by orgasm. Bayonet me, you bastard! Squirt your imperialist regiment, 1 million condemned men, oh, officers and cannon fodder, saints and serfs, factory hands and poets. Die, Tommy, die, I reply, climaxing into her. The guns fall silent, and then there is nothing save a soft moaning and the chatter of distant skylarks. Another Hove bus passes. At last I haul myself off, panting heavily, my spent genitals now swinging aimless like a dead man's rifle. How was it? I ask. I am destroyed, she says. My beautiful ramparts are nothing but a jagged jigsaw of irreparable desolation. She dips a finger into her vagina, then holds it up, smeared with gobs of my semen. My fields are awash with the dead and the dying. Slumped on the bed, a smile creeps across her war-torn face. Flanders, she announces, lies thoroughly fucked. Personally, I can't stand all the fuss. It was fun at first, but I think I'm beginning to grow tired of her. You try getting that worked up about Belgium. There you go, true story, that one.
It was very blue.
It was blue.
No, it was quite blue.
It was quite blue.
It was blue, it was filth. Unadulterated filth. But with fine attention to detail as regards uniform patterns of the 1917 German Imperial Army.
As long as it does that, that's all that matters.
That's what matters, isn't it? You gotta mitre the filth with a bit of historical fact.
I thought it was very sexy.
Sexy, well, it's got you moved, hasn't it?
Oh, yes.
It's got you moved. I've noticed from your rock and roll, this is kind of... Like all musicians, you flirt with totalitarianism.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always flirting with
totalitarianism. Flirt with totalitarianism.
And the totalitarianism. Yeah.
Flirt with totalitarianism. Why? I've seen you nodding a little wink in the direction of General Pinochet. I've seen you playing footsie with some South African banana.
I have cast quite a camp wrist motion in the direction of Tissot.
We have. And we've all gone all northern.
I know it's because
we've gone northern because we're talking blue.
It's the only way to efficiently be blue.
It's the only way to deal with blue.
It's
my blue book.
Did you ever attend the Naked Poetry events in Brighton?
I did.
You did? I thought you did.
I did attend the Naked Poetry, but only to view.
In an observatory capacity.
I remember I am still haunted haunted by the sight of Rapunzel Wizard's indecisiveness. The indecisive rubbing of the nipples that was getting what shall I do next? I don't know which one I'm gonna do next. Plucking at his pierced nipples.
Living in fucking Aberdeen.
He doesn't.
Doesn't he?
No.
Where does he live now?
Leinster.
What is that?
Leominster. It's a small market town on the borders of Herefordshire and Wales.
Well, that's still too far.
It's still pointless, isn't it?
Why do they keep
moving to these places from Aberdeen?
They are sort of coming back, though, aren't they, into England slowly?
Yeah, they moved up to Aberdeen. That was something to do with Wizard's parents. Now they moved to Leominster, which is something to do with Shade's parents.
Mm.
Yeah. Something like that.
Well, that is not quite.
I will
so
try and get him
far.
On the podcast. When
I'll just go to Leominster. I've never been there. Maybe it's good. I'll go there and record him.
Yeah.
Well, he does. I tell you what you want. If you want to go and record him,
yeah.
Get a lift next time, because Stonesy's gran lives in Leominster, and they drive up there for the day and then come back again. So you get up to have a field recording, just like that.
That would be appropriate.
An Alan Lomax field recording of hillbillies in Leominster, which consists of Rapunzel Wizard. Saying yes, sir. Well, I've been doing rubbing these nipples. My father told me how to rub nipples. We rub nipples in these pots. So
ever since they took my daddy away, I've had to rub them myself. But I still rub them. Australian man, my daddy used to draw. used to heavy breathe into a microphone
it's all the clues that were there.
Fucking Harris, what are you up to?
The clues that were there all along.
I haven't got any segments this week.
You don't have any segments?
No, What's a segment?
She had a segment.
Over Clementine?
The first one was me reading out poems from when I was 14.
Yeah.
Wasn't that good, to be honest. Didn't really work.
They weren't shit enough.
They weren't quite shit enough.
Can you not do a poetry cover version?
Poetry
for cover. For your slip, select while we cover for you.
Yeah,
select a poetry book. Or perhaps you could do an impression of Dame Edith Sitwell. I would love for you to do an impression of Dame Edith Sitwell reading a poem.
I can't quite remember what she sounded like.
Have you got the CD of Edith Sitwell?
I think I do.
It's fantastic. You should hear it. You should get it. Because it's all her doing experimental noise poetry.
Oh.
And she's another one with the same sort of face as Virginia Woolf. Sorry, Roz. But same sort of face as Virginia Woolf. Wore outlandish hats and doing sort of ludicrous voices, noises.
It's
proper art from
1930. Yeah, I've got that.
I think she was hanging around with vortices.
The Caveman Poets ones, we've got like Yeats. There's a really old recording of Yeats. I should go now in the
industry. Yeah. And there's
strange you should talk about Yeats on today when supposedly the greatest living poet from Ireland since Yeats.
Brilliant.
Well, he's not living anymore. He's just
died. So many people have gone, oh, yeah, sad to see Seamus Heaney go, one of my favourite poets. The only poet you've fucking heard of.
Only people they've heard of from Ireland, haven't they? Only people they've heard of. Blackberry picking and digging between thumb and forefinger, my squat pen rests.
He was
on the GCSE syllabus.
I know, so
they've
heard of him.
No, that's fine, but that's why they've heard of him. So,
I'm a long and established fan of poetry.
Seamus Heaney. I did a gig with him.
I'm sad he's dead. I'm not, don't get me wrong. Poor fella. Better if he was alive.
So I supported him in Ireland.
Did you?
Yeah. When I say supported, I was on the stage, the act before him.
Oh, right. But you didn't sort of hold him up.
No, I wasn't supporting him in the kind of thing, I've got Seamus Heaney, who would be a perfect foil with which to accustom the audience to the great canon of poetry before we bring Mr. Heaney on. I know Mr. Johnny Fluffy Punk from Brighton. No. It wasn't that. I just happened to be doing a gig on the stage.
They'd already decided that for
Yeah, then they came and cleared everybody out and put Seamus Heaney on. But I was...
That counts for press release purposes.
Counts, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's, you don't tell anybody about the bits and bobs. You just
No. I was on the stage with Seamus Heaney. I shook his hand.
I blew Seamus... When I blew Seamus Heaney off...
Not Seamus.
No, I'm not. When I blew him off the stage...
Oh, right.
He's innocent. He's not. He's an innocent man. There's no
All
suggestion.
The poetry's upstairs.
There's some here. I've got poetry here.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't. I've got Cunt by Stuart Home.
Is that any good?
It's all right. It's not his best.
See, I get a bit tired of him. Because that kind of... I mean, I know he's very clever and everything. I'm far more like reading his theoretical things than these supposed plagiarised novels where he just, every time he talks about ejaculating,
right,
he talks about
Christ,
a gush of... What's the thing he says? He always
I always remember, like...
flood of liquid genetics.
That's the one.
And then crunching splinter of bone when he smashes someone's face in.
It's like Mark Manning.
I don't
Like sticking my cock into a can of electric eels, which he uses at least three times.
Mark Manning, yeah. Zodiac Mind Warp.
Zodiac Mind Warp, yeah.
What was this? He's now a
graphic
designer, isn't he?
I'm referring to Mark Manning because of the, that's what it says on the book. But yeah, Zodiac Mind Warp. But it's that the line about the can of electric eels. This is me holding a can of electric eels. And that is what he does in his books. But he says that a lot.
So I'm disappointed with Mark Manning.
Do you remember those books? Probably. This might have just been my house that had these. But like they were called like... Undersea Adventure and like other adventures. Like all these,
Willard Price books. Yeah. I could name them all in order. Amazon Adventure, South Sea Adventure. I fucked up now. Don't know what number three was, but then there was Volcano Adventure, Whale Adventure.
I'm so disappointed you can't do them all.
What was number three?
I don't know. I don't know
the
order.
Amazon Adventure, South Sea Adventure. Number three. Volcano Adventure, Whale Adventure. Safari Adventure was 8, Elephant Adventure was 7.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've lost. I failed. I thought I could name all 10 was Gorilla
Two
Adventure.
Two of those books have the same descriptive passage of, I think it's manatees. And I noticed that when I was 11 and it shattered
deeply,
my world.
Plagiarised his own novel.
This is a very similar passage to a passage I've read in a previous book about colonial people.
Really?
And natives. And I went and found the other book in the same, like, the whole, like, two paragraph passage.
He learned things from those, but I learned the word buana. Yeah. It's the thing I remember most.
And darky.
Does it say darky?
I don't think it
does. It says buana all the way. It's always master.
Yeah, is that right?
It said buana, asterisk, at the bottom, master. It's what they all call Hallam Roger.
I've tapped into a...
Hallam Roger Hunt.
I think we're at the truth.
The men who are their own rhyming saying.
We've penetrated your core.
What?
Julius softened you up with all that sort of questioning. I started off with that sort of semi-jokey thing where I was like, oh, it's pointless what you do, and it sort of sounded like a joke, but was it really? This is a magical deconstruction of your personality we've achieved, and we've got to your essence.
And the essence
which is a neo-colonial young man exploring an island of natives. That's what you really are.
In essence. It probably is.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So you can relax now.
What a metaphor. Beautiful. What a metaphor. Julia, what is your interlude going to be?
My interlude?
You're going to do a poetry cover.
You're going to do an interlude.
Well, I'm going to read a poem by someone else.
Yeah, that was it. You're doing a poetry cover version.
I couldn't find anything. I mean, I've got HD, but, you know.
No, do someone less cool than that. Where's all the poetry books?
They're all upstairs.
Is HD cool?
For goodness sake.
Yeah.
Are they all upstairs?
Can't all be upstairs. There must be some poetry.
Come on, there must be a bit of...
It's all tucked away. We don't do that anymore, you know.
T.S. Eliot in the lavvy or...
I've got the Necronomicon.
Yeah.
Necronomicon.
Yeah, read that passage of that in the style of...
Tommy Cooper.
Of Tommy Cooper. Just like that.
Just like that.
Just like that. Tommy Cooper.
Just like that.
But they're just going... I'm not going
to... Necronomicon.
Oh.
Oh.
It's not going to work.
It's not
going to
work, is it? It's going to go on a bit long. The joke will wear thin very quickly.
Let all who read this book be
warned...
That's
not his voice.
Well, what...
Let all his read voice. Be warned.
Let all read this book be warned.
If you're all going to try doing it, why don't you read it yourself?
Yeah, no. Well, that's a good point. Why don't you read a bit of the Necronomicon in the style of Tommy Cooper? It's our new segment. This is our new segment where our guest reads out...
reads out a great fake occult literature of the early 20th century.
Reading out something by somebody else.
In the style
selected... by either themselves or one of the two.
Does it have to be like music hall based northern acts?
It could be northern circuit.
So next
time
we'll have someone doing a bit of Principia Discordia
in the style of
Bernard
Manning.
Ken Dodd.
Yes, madam. Well, it doesn't have to be northern, it could be any kind of thing, because I would actually like to see some of that H.P. Lovecraft read out in the style of Frankie Howard. Did you know? He did.
Or it was too horrible.
Did you miss it?
Or it was too horrible to describe.
Stop. Stop right there. Now who am I doing? Tommy Cooper.
Tommy Cooper, in any passage.
Let all who read this book. He wasn't really known for his talking, really.
No, not really.
He wasn't really known for his talking. Should we select another...
Just get a trick wrong while you're doing it.
Yeah, come on. Just like that, listen to that. Let all who read this book be warned hereby that the habituation of men are seen and surveyed them by by that ancient race of gods and demons from the time before time, and that they seek revenge for that forgotten battle that took place somewhere in the cosmos and meant the world in the days before the creation of man. This isn't going to work. Tommy Cooper is not known for his talking.
No.
I was a wrong, it was a spurious, spurious.
Right. Okay, no, okay, okay, right, don't look, right? I'm going to do a sort of
and we got to identify
fashionable text in the style of someone, and you have to identify.
Identify.
Yeah. All right, so. What is constantly new in the process of production of things is not found in consumption, which remains the expanded repetition of the same. In speculative time, since dead labour continues to dominate living labour, the past dominates the present.
I reckon it's either... I have a feeling it might be something... The Society of the Spectacle...
Yeah.
In the style... By Guy Debord...
Yeah.
In the style of...
Didn't really nail the style, to be honest.
It didn't really nail the style. It could have carried on being Tommy Cooper there. Yeah. I have a feeling it's some northern generic comedian. I have a feeling he might have been attempting to do a Les Dawson.
I was kind of going more Bernard Manning. But
it was Bernard Manning. Yeah. Well, I thought the fact we talked about Bernard Manning
know,
before, but
you know,
it was
for some reason
kind of double bluff.
But it was a double bluff. But also, it was kind of mainly what I wanted to do is read out Society of the Spectacle in the style of Bernard Manning, and then I was just inventing a spurious quiz to enable me to do that.
But it is good that our art has progressed this afternoon. This is what I mean about the nihilism. It doesn't mean nothing. Nothing means anything.
No.
But we have. I'm sat with two of the most intelligent people from the music community that I know, and we've been reduced to doing Society of the... No.
Yeah.
We've been reduced to doing Society of the Spectacle in the style of Bernard Manning.
Yes.
Which is good, actually.
It's gone off the rails a bit.
It's good. Well, now, actually, what I wanted to do,
really,
Simon, is to do Bernard Manning's act in the style of Guy Debord.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a man, and he went to... I'm being interviewed. You got interviewed
okay.
in the style of a French...
And was he... Is
this man?
To take this this man
yes,
that you're introducing
yes.
into the...
Mm.
Into the analogy, into the discourse.
The man, this
unidentified man, is he a man of ethnic extraction?
No, he is a mainstream white Anglo-Saxon man. He is
bourgeois.
He is on his way to, because he is participating in the spectacular consumption of capitalist practice. He is going to holiday in Spain. You know, so he is not willing to. He's going to holiday in Spain because he wants to participate in something that he cannot, as a person, participate in himself. He wants to observe this experience, so he goes to Spain.
He wants to observe this the consumption of Spain as a spectacle, as an entire spectacle in itself.
His body will be in the idea of Spain, but will he be in Spain? We cannot say. He goes there and he knocks upon the door of another man because he has realized that he cannot fully participate in this experience.
No, because of the objectification inherent in the use of language itself.
Because of this, he cannot do it.
Means he is not a participant, in fact, in his own life, in his own existence.
He clings to
the world in the subjective.
He clings to himself. He clings to the things that should define himself and surround his centered subject. And so he needs gravy because he cannot live with the Spanish food. It is too rich for him. So he needs the pisto, you know? So he goes to this other man and he knocks on the door. And his wife says, "Do not knock, because he will be Spanish. You cannot speak the Spanish, you know." But he says, "I must ask if he has the gravy. I believe he is English." So he knocks on the door of this house, and he tries to participate fully. And he says to the man, "Hasta la visto." He attempts to speak the Spanish language of the man. You know?
Hasta la visto.
He says, "Hasta la visto." And the man, he opens the door. He connects on a human level, but not on a conceptual level, and he says...
But is it a real connection? Is it a real authentic connection?
Is it
an authentic experience?
What is authentic? What is this? Yes? So, but we have to enter a kind of space where it is a conceptual space. And he says, "Fuck off, you Spanish cunt." You see? This is what happens, you see. So...
It is, as I have heard various theorists say about you, Mr. Debord, the way you tell them.
Ah, it is the way I
it
tell
is
them.
The way
but
you
also,
tell
it
them.
Is not the way I tell them at all. So,
but this is the inherent dichotomy.
It is a dichotomy.
Yeah,
I cannot solve it.
It's an inherent paradox.
I cannot solve the dichotomy, but you know,
paradox
it
of
it is a paradox.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
tits. I like them also. There we are. That was Bernard Manning's material in the style of Guy Debord.
Oh, it takes me back to my childhood. We used to have a gang. Did you have gangs when you were
No, I was
chum?
Bullied.
What?
I was bullied.
You were bullied?
Yeah.
Did you have a gang?
I don't think I had a gang. I don't know. What kind of
in
gang Buckingham
are you talking
about?
Well, it was in little Buckingham. Kids. Well, I had a gang. We used to spend hours, all of
you
us.
Have friends.
No, I used to spend hours in front of the bedroom mirror. Like pretending to be noted left bank Parisian existentialist.
Oh, you used to do that.
Yeah, of course you did. You did that. It was a gang. It was our gang. We had our gang.
Okay.
We had known as having the sharpest dialectic in our village.
Did you?
We had the sharpest dialectic in our village. We used to get into fights. I used to get into fights with like the deconstructionist kids.
Did you?
Yeah, they used to do their hair like Michel Foucault and Jack Dreider and reckon they were dead hard.
On a discipline and punishment. Yeah.
Well, I got cornered in the toilets once by one of them.
Did
pushed
you?
Me. Yeah.
Deconstructed.
No, he pushed me up against the wall and tried to forcibly impose a sceptical approach to the possibility of coherent meaning. It's what they do.
What a cunt.
Well, I turned around to him. I took off my blazer and I got ready. I just get ready straight in there and straight in there to refute his hypothesis.
Did you?
I refuted his. But then.
Did you refute it?
No, because then Mr. Ball, the games teacher, caught us, and he wasn't having standing for any of that. Grabbed us by the scruff of the neck and told us. He said, your debating chamber mentality has got no place in this playground.
Fucking
get out.
Cultural materialist,
yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's not just say to you, why can't you fight like normal boys?
Yeah. Yeah. He said, debating chamber mentality has got no place in a playground. Yeah. That's it.
That's a good thing to say to a child, a young person.
It's true. It's true.
I should go and say it to someone.
You should be out there playing
see,
marbles.
If you hadn't been being bullied, you could have been doing that.
Yeah, if you hadn't been out there busy getting bullied.
Mm.
Yeah, laziness.
Yeah.
False consciousness. Don't talk to
her anymore. Bullied you? Who bullied you, Julia?
Jordan, wasn't it?
Jordan, yeah, she bullied me. Really
Jordan?
Well. Yeah, tits Jordan.
Katie Price?
Yeah. She
bullied you?
She used to spit at me on the bus.
What?
She used to spit at me on the bus.
Why?
Because she was a gobber. She gobbed.
She gobbed at people.
That's what she did, yeah.
Do you go to the same school as Katie Price?
I did, yeah.
Bloody hell.
Mm. I know, lucky girl, eh? Bloody hell.
Was she in your class?
No, she was older than me.
And she used to
much,
gobble.
Much older.
Much older than me.
But somehow less mature.
I wasn't, to be fair, I was bullied at school a little bit, not too much. But mainly I was having a life outside of school, really, so I, you know.
Were you?
Yeah.
What sort of life?
Well, a sexy one, mostly. So.
A sexy life outside
of
school?
Yeah, pretty much. I wasn't,
it's quite wild,
I wasn't,
isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. So I was having...
Who is? You weren't...
Whoever was there, you know, whoever was about.
And how old was this?
Why do you want to know?
Well, Rolf Harris.
It is.
Well, but this is the thing, isn't it?
Tell
this
me
is
about
the,
your childhood.
Yeah, but then all of the... You know,
you're
turning the earlier argument on its head slightly, where they all go on, oh, these old bloody Rolf Harris is this, like that. You get a lot of these very precocious people. Sexually precocious.
What, teenagers?
Sexually precocious teenagers.
Don't legitimise rape.
I'm not legitimising.
You're getting trouble on the internet.
I'm not legitimising.
You are. You're saying, all the sexy kids.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, no. But I'm just saying, no, because at one point they were trying to stick the boot into John Peel, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because of being a paedophile, yeah.
No, he wasn't being a paedophile. He was
just married a 14-year-old.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so. Or a 15-year-old. He definitely.
That was Jerry Lee Lewis.
No, John Peel.
Did John Peel marry a 15-year-old?
So, yeah,
there was
sure
definitely
did.
Something.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's a 15-year-old and a 15, because he probably was pretty young at the time.
I'm not saying there isn't, like, there would
be. We should be careful exactly what we say.
No, it's good to make
Google
a controversial
it.
Podcast.
These were different times.
Yeah,
however,
allegedly.
Not an illegal.
However, whenever this stuff happens, as it has in America recently, there's a guy who only got 30 days in jail on the basis that the teenager was kind of basically sort of.
No, I heard.
And you're kind of like, well, yeah, the problem is, when I was 15, there's loads of stuff I didn't know about, and so when really bad stuff happened, I completely freaked out and fell to pieces because I wasn't equipped to deal with situations like that. And that's the problem, is that they may well appear a certain way, but actually they haven't got the emotional...
Yeah, well, this is it. They haven't got the emotional maturity.
To handle it at all. Even if they say, I'm fine, I can deal with it.
No, because my partner, stroke lady friend, mother of my child...
She's very mature for a 12-year-old.
Enough, Simon. But that puts me in mind of a Jerry Sadovich joke, which we won't go into it. But she from the age of 14 to 16, all of her boyfriends, and there were not an infrequent amount. I think the youngest was 25. Mm. But she would balk at the fact, if I was to say to her, but these people were no better than Wolf Harris or something then. And she goes, no, they're not. And some of them she's still good friends with all this time later.
I think there are situations where no problems occur with those things. And also, young women do have a tendency, I definitely do.
This is
have
a big old flashing red danger zone.
This is a flashing
record
danger zone.
And put on the internet.
Let's get back to talking shit.
Can we not just do Ralph and Eamon, like the style of...
Is that how you spell it? Is that how you pronounce it?
I think it is Ralvanim.
Ralvanim. So many years, ladies and gentlemen. Lady and
Belgian,
gent.
Belgian, though, isn't he? You can never tell with
that. I always called him Ralph Vanagheim. It's Ralph Vanagheim.
It might be Ralph Vanagheim.
I saw
I think it's Ralph. I've heard Ralph Vanagheim.
You know, I totally warmed to him recently by coming across an interview with him in something, and he was grinning away and cuddling his kids. And he thought, oh, well, he's all right.
Yeah.
Well, because they're so... I mean, Guider Boy, you wouldn't get a picture of him grinning away, would you?
No, I imagine he was a bit
so serious and then topped
with.
Himself. Yeah. Yeah, well, forever. I mean, if you've just got the wrong turn of conversation with him, that's it. You're excommunicated from the Situations International, weren't you? So many expulsions.
No dialogue.
It's worse like being a bloody surrealist. What?
No dialogue with cunts.
No, is that
no,
what
you
said?
The name in it. It's a communique from... I think it's the... Is it from the Belgian situation? It's not aimed at the
But
Belgian
is that not... Is that him being subjective as to who is a cunt and who isn't? No dialogue with cunts. I mean, this is exactly...
I don't know. I tried to discuss it with him. He just walked off.
Yeah.
Yes.
But this is like Andre Breton, isn't it? Forever excommunicating surrealists. Basically anybody you fell out with. Yeah. The same with Guy Debord. And he's obviously just not a fairly humorless sort of bloke.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone has ever come up with a surfboard company that's got the name Guy Debord in it.
Guy Debord.
Yeah.
Or an ironing board manufacturer.
This is the
Guy Debord.
Like the
this is one to iron to in yeah, iron intellectually yeah, exactly, too.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, because I remember the when they opened up the beach in the club, the beach in Brighton.
Yeah.
And I think the week that opened, someone had written on the pavement above "Sous la plage," which I thought was fucking.
That
awesome.
Is best beautiful. Really, that really is. Isn't that only in Brighton? It's one of those only in Brighton things. Only Brighton does have seafront arches.
Yeah.
So what was the other on that subject actually?
Yes.
How long are we looking? At the moment
we've done ages, but it's fine. I think, to be honest, I'm not bored.
Okay,
it's good fun.
I do have to
you got to finish.
Wrap up
go
in the next
work.
Sort of, in the next sort of 15 minutes we have to wrap up.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah.
Blimey, we've been going at this for 2 hours.
We have been doing this for a long time, but that's fine. I'm pleased.
Yeah, we
They're
have got to wrap
longer.
Up because I'm supposed to be getting a lift to after we're going to Tunbridge Wells to watch people take their clothes off. Say something brilliant and fascinating.
Yeah, I was supposed to ask you about like how you got into poetry and stuff.
Oh, sodding
fuck it, who cares.
Desperate, craven desire for attention.
That'll do.
Yeah. Same as all of us, really.
I did it to meet boys. I did. It worked.
Met
I did
a boy,
it because I wanted to
up.
Be the new Ezra Pound.
Yeah.
Did
and
you
want to
be the
girls.
New Ezra
sort
Pound?
Sort of. Well, so, I mean, yeah. When David Hunter and stuff, that was kind of the idea, is that we'd be the new, like, vorticists and be a revolution based on poetry.
God.
Didn't really work out.
What a bunch of pretentious tosspots.
I know, well,
a bunch of pretentious tosspots. The thing is, you can't really do that, don't you? Because it didn't have the currency. Post rock and roll, it hasn't got the currency for you to be that.
Plus,
it just
fascism,
consists.
Fascism,
it just ends
cool
up.
Now.
It just ends. Yeah, well, that as well. But it just ends up being a small, like the Sanctuary Cafe in Brighton, full of overeducated young men wearing stupid hats.
That's what it is.
Is what
exactly
it turned
what
out to be.
I wore a stupid hat for a few weeks. It was terrible.
Yeah,
but
people wandering
but
around
so
wearing
what
fedora
you, okay,
hats.
So, but obviously, at times in the past, you've had like the Beat Generation, you've had the Vorticists, and you've had...
Yeah.
So if you're now, right, if you're 20, and you're going, oh, the world must change, and I must do it through art, what would you get into? Because I don't think you'd get into poetry or music necessarily. Like, make a really good computer game? What would you do?
Well, in order to be challenging and changing.
Well, you've got to find an art form that actually has shit left to do in it, so that you're not just scrolling on the side of the
computer games is the number one problem.
I suppose.
But
yeah, but it's
quite
so
a
solitary
passive. Thing to...
It's so passive.
How many computer games have you played?
I've never.
There
I've
are, you
played
see.
Asteroid.
Never played.
The thing is,
and I shan't be.
Asteroid.
This might be just a bit
no,
of an age thing as well, and not an earth.
Do you play? Is that those things computer games?
Yes.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, see, we know...
Even the intelligentsia
but you
sucked
see,
into it,
it may well be that this is a, you know, zeitgeist thing. That there are things that people are doing, they're just not doing what we did at all.
No.
You know, and they are finding ways of changing the world doing those things instead.
I haven't really seen much people trying to check. I mean, there are a few people like that. To the Moon is amazing, but like there aren't many games that, because you'd think. But what I'm saying is, you've got to find an art form that's still got stuff left to build in or before it's finished. You haven't.
I mean, hasn't music? I am finished.
You're 19, 20 year olds now go, oh, I'm gonna.
Oh, what can they do? Yeah, the what thing. Can they do?
Because I think music, I've tried poetry. Sort of. I've tried music, and to be honest, both of them felt.
It's
like
all internet. I don't know.
Flash games. Maybe.
But the thing is, none of it has ever changed anything. None of it ever has, really, has it?
Well, you don't have slaves anymore, do you?
No, but that wasn't changed by Ezra Pound, was it?
No, it wasn't. Well, Ezra Pound sort of made things worse by accidentally getting into fascism. And then...
He's one, he'd look... I mean, I only read very recently. I've always heard of these people, and I've read bits of their poetry and stuff like that. But I only recently picked up a book that was actually a biography of Wyndham Lewis.
Right.
In a bookshop, because I was bored. Nothing better. I looked at the pictures. As you do, you turn to the pictures at the front, in the middle, see what they look like. They didn't half look cool.
They did look really cool.
Was it Ezra Pound is the coolest looking one, with a wax moustache and the foppish hair?
Yeah, fucking cool.
Looks a bit like Rupert Everett, but
really
sexier.
He was being a secretary for Yeats for a while, basically writing out stuff for him. And it went, there's a recording of him... reading in an accent that is kind of all over the place, basically trying to do how Yeats read, which is an amazing recording. I really like Ezra.
But I like all these sneery ones. He just wrote down things that people around him were doing in a really sneery way. And she was undergoing a novel and stuff like that. It's quite good.
Undergoing a novel.
Yeah, I think that's one of his. Yeah. But then he got into all this anti-Semitism, being a dreadful fascist.
Oh, they did, didn't they? Wyndham Lewis.
In his 50s. He apologised personally to Allen Ginsberg on behalf of... get that Allen Ginsberg. I hear he's a queer Jew. I'll say sorry,
I'll say
to,
sorry
him.
To him.
I'm sorry. Tell the others. That's what it was.
Which one was that? Ezra Pound?
Yeah.
Excellent.
He didn't actually say that. It's just me putting words...
People do forget people forget that, you know, the... At that time, the options were fascism, communism, and then something.
No, I know. And it was, well, the thing is also, it was a time where all these, it was, you know, it was all very well looking back. But at that time, just coming out of the First World War, you got this acceleration of stuff, haven't you? Acceleration of society. And suddenly, these things, both communism and fascism, are both these kind of. It all looks like a futurist Brave New World, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It all looks like the society of the future.
Manifesto. It's like, you know, even now. Despite it sort of being kind of awful, it's like it's really exciting to read. It's even though he's sort of like going, well, we despise all women.
But the thing is,
it's the form of words. You've done it in capital letters.
The thing is, with all of this stuff, though, with all of that, and especially with all of those things, and you have Ezra Pound's This World and stuff like that, is that all of that poetry just, it only ever appeals and is pretended to be understood by a small coterie of intellectuals. It's never anything that's going to... And they all talk about, you know, mass movements, uprisings, revolutions and creating a new future, yet their stuff is so inaccessible. The paradox is always that what they're doing is up their own arses and inaccessible to all but a small coterie of intellectuals. As in, like, the Situationists, whose books are full of words... That not only do you have to look up in the dictionary, but when you do, using the most comprehensive dictionary available, they still don't exist.
No.
Plus, they're all in French, and you can understand that.
Yeah, it's not that.
Whose line is it? There go my people. I must see where they're going so I can lead them. I can't remember whose it is.
It's a couple of people said it. Well, there's.
Is it in the West Wing? It usually is.
No.
I'm being clever.
It
I'm
is
just
in
quoting
the West
Wing.
But it was a prince. It was a prince, I think.
Prince.
Originally. A prince.
It was
not prince.
Prince.
Yeah.
A prince.
Kiss. No, not him.
Get it to a funky bass.
There go my people. They're looking very funky, I must say.
Yeah. I must
tell change
them
my underpants again and follow them.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Wrapping up.
We've only done one song. I think we'll probably just do one song today.
So we've done quite a lot of hours.
I think it's been a lot of intelligent discourse.
I think there was.
Yeah.
Make sure you share the podcast. And
I will do that. I think that was.
Yeah, I think
we've done Bernard Manning.
You've learned something there.
Bernard Manning's material in the style of Guy Debord.
If we just listen back, look up all the people we've met.
Exactly. There's a lot of intellectual food for thought, even if the actual content has been basically three people.
We've been in a shallow way. Alluding to things that have depth.
Alluding to things that have depth, and people can look up the references and read what these people actually did.
Do we have any news?
No.
We'll get to you.
We don't.
I'm still working on those tracks.
Yeah.
So the
downloadable DLC
content
is but it's taking a little bit longer
than it's still happening. It's taking about the length of time it should, but
yeah.
I'm still doing it.
DLT.
Yeah, we're making doing that.
DLC.
Look, stop talking about paedophiles. We just no, he's not. Is he? Oh, we can't remember. Did we decide he was or wasn't DLT?
Stop checking your checks, Mr.
No, I'm just DLT.
Is he or not? Did we decide?
No, I think he was adults anyway.
He's adults. Okay, so yeah, yes, we're not making any more jokes like that.
Thank
we
you very much
that.
For being on.
No. We could not say thank you yet.
Okay.
So we haven't got any more news.
No, I don't think
I'll
so.
Edit.
Apart from that, I have lots of gobbles for sale, and I'm.
That's the kind of thing I mean. Sell stuff to people.
Currently designing some gobbles for.
Goggles?
Gobbles.
This is a gobble here. These are little hand puppets.
Oh, is this your puppet show? Are they the gobbles?
This isn't that. This is something else.
This is something else. This is you just making small glove puppets for children.
Yes.
We are very attractive and cute. You can use it. No, don't.
And how much is a gobble?
They are £8, the large ones, and the little
couldn't
ones.
Couldn't resist,
three,
could you?
Three or four.
How much for a gobble, Julia?
How much for a gobble?
Are you one of these people who goes into four files and goes, oh, how much for a finger, love? Oh, lovely. Awful.
I hadn't occurred to me.
I am that.
I'm
proud of it.
How much for a gobble?
Yeah, so.
Ooh, is there icing on your buns? Like, what the fuck?
Yes.
No, but I will do from now
on. Currently designing some autumn ones with little leaves on them and stuff.
Oh. Little leaves.
Very cute.
That's a Santa gobble that's being.
How do you get to those on the internet?
You get to those by going to http bloody blah. is.goodgd/gobble.
Gobble
or
just go
to
gobble?
The Indelicates
gobble.
Website and go to the shop and there is a link there.
There's a whole link to the gobbles on the Indelicates.
Yeah. There's also
website.
A Tumblr of gobbles, all the different designs I've done, including a wedding gobble and
I presume Indelicates fans chancing upon these will assume that you're making them in an ironic way.
I think they generally assume that I've gone a bit mad, which is probably
fair. Are you making them in an ironic way or do you genuinely want to appeal to small children?
Because I quite like
children. No, we genuinely want to appeal to. She's been doing craft fairs and stuff. She sells them to children all the time.
Yeah, I sell them to kids.
They love them.
We act them out and stuff. And
children run up to
them
and grab them and hug them.
Yeah, they do. There was a little girl
like
who
kids?
Came up. I
you don't have any?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, look at it. We've gone through all the bad things. Now we're ending on a nice family note. Yeah.
Well, you see, if
end.
I was going to have
How
kids, I probably wouldn't talk about it on a podcast.
No, that would be
How
best, wouldn't it?
How are your children?
I've got little Percy and little Yanto. They're both fine.
Yeah.
They're both fine. They're
and if
good.
The people out there want to pay money for things in order to further support their development,
they can go on to.
I
have a website, www.johnnyfluffypunk, all lowercase.
No H.
johnnyfluffypunk.co.uk. And on there is a link. You can purchase my book, The Sustainable Nihilist's Handbook.
That's a good
on
book.
There. I can't even remember how much for, but you can buy it on there, or you can buy it at gigs. It'll be a collector's item soon because I won't be called. Hopefully, won't be called Johnny Fluffy Punk.
Where are these gigs?
What?
Where are these gigs?
Gigs I've got coming up. If you're listening out there, or next one, I'm doing one tomorrow night in St Leonard's on Sea. I can't remember the name of the venue, but
so
that's
more than one in St Leonard's.
No, in the venue. The venue where you don't get your face kicked in on site in St Leonard's on Sea tomorrow night.
So if you go into all of them and if you get your face kicked in,
yeah,
you're in the wrong one.
That's it.
The other.
Okay, and it's some kind of anarchist-y Spanish night. So we're doing a gig there. And then next week in St Germans in Cornwall, at a comedy club, there's me and Nathan Filer, who's poet, novelist.
To be honest, both of
these
are
going to
be before we put.
These are going to be before this podcast has gone out.
Yeah.
Okay, so just check the website. There's a list.
Don't do it spoon fed. Check
the
website.
Yeah, just check
the
check the website.
Check it.
Right now, I've got a Leggett to be picked up to go to my. I've got to go with my friend. He's a unicycling striptease artist. And I've got to go along and just sit all evening watching ladies take their clothes off.
Yeah, he's been putting
sounds like
it's
such
an hard
burden.
Life.
Yeah.
It is a hard life. So
yeah,
they're going to have some bag of chips and watch ladies take their kit off.
Excellent.
Okay, that's my evening sorted.
Thank you for being on our podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. It has been really good fun.
Exactly.
It's been really good fun. And I've learned things, as have you, listener.
Yes. Be grateful.
Be
Goodbye.
Grateful.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.